You're listening to Phil Hendry. Call Phil at 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
Alrighty then, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I'm Dr. Krelgor, and don't forget you can get I'm a Worthless Meat Sack t-shirts. Just go to our Dr. Krelgor website, and you can get our I'm a Worthless Meat Sack t-shirt. Okay, let's see, Betty Sue, you're on with Dr. Krelgor. How are you? Okay, let's get around here. Betty?
Hi, Dr. Krelgor.
Hi, Betty. What can I do for you?
I'm a worthless meat sack.
Okay.
And I noticed the other day that my husband wasn't paying much attention to me, and I was curious as to what the problem might be.
Okay, what are you talking about?
My husband.
Who is he?
He's my...
Your husband? Is he your husband or isn't he?
Yeah, he's... I guess he is.
Well, you have to make up your mind, woman. She's your husband, or is she your husband, or is he your husband?
Well,
You see, if you don't understand, how can you solve the problem? That's what I'm trying to say to you right now, okay? You need to understand, woman. You don't go out and get knocked up and spit out 15 kids and bleed from the crotch like you're out in the fields working, okay? Like you're wearing one of those Mohammedan pairs of pants. You're dropping babies left and right. Is that it?
No, I don't have any kids.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. And
I've never had sex with a man.
Well, that's the whole point. I'm sorry, if you don't want to listen to me, you can get the Dr. Krelgor I'm a Worthless Meat Sack t-shirt. All you have to do is get on our website, drkrelllgor, get on our Worthless Meat Sack website. Take on the day.
Now go take on the day.
I'm a meat sack.
Go do the right thing.
Okay, I'm fired. All right, anyway. Let's go over here to, let's hold that. Let's grab this. Let's go to my man here in Huntington Beach. How you doing? Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show, sir.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know, give you guys a scoop on the Phil Hendry Show. I went to a marketing research for Budweiser tonight.
Uh-huh. Now, do you work for Bud? Are you in the marketing business?
No, actually, I got a solicitation through the phone that said, would you like to make $50 to watch some commercials that are going to air during the Super Bowl and give your opinion?
Cool.
Great.
Cool. Focus group, sir.
Focus group, exactly.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see if you were interested in hearing what kind of commercials Bud's going to be putting out there.
Not a problem. I'd love to hear about it. Now, where this was in Los Angeles?
Actually, it was in Studio City, as a matter of fact.
Right. And tell me about it. What are they going to be pitching at us there on Sunday?
Okay, well...
did they give you a Bud to drink while you're watching these?
No Bud to drink.
Yeah?
Everybody wanted that, but... They wouldn't give us anything to drink, but the number one commercial looks like it's about it shows a man and a dog, and you hear the announcer saying, John likes to play, and he likes to do this, and he likes to do that, and actually you think it's like the dog, right, but comes to find out it's the man, and he said, that's why I give my master Budweiser, and it shows the guy sitting on the couch drinking a beer. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's cool. What's the dog doing?
The dog is like the announcer. See, at the end, you see the dog, the announcer.
So, is he sitting at a microphone or something? Or
no, he's like sitting behind like a panel, and then the guy's on the couch drinking the beer. And, you know, it looked like one of those typical dog chow commercials where, you know, that's why I give my dog this. But he's like, that's why I give my master Budweiser.
Yeah.
Give him the beer.
Cool. Is that okay? What else did you see?
Okay, another good one was there was a really attractive woman, and... he says, a lot of guys don't like my cat. And, you know, one of the things they have to realize is that my cat really, really enjoys drinking Budweiser. So the guy's like, oh, I love cats. And she goes in the kitchen. He gives her the eyes and goes, screw this. Like, he goes and gets the beer, the Budweiser, and he hears his growl. He looks over, and there's this tiger looking at him. I mean, not a cat, a tiger.
Yeah.
And then that's how it ends. You hear, like, some growling and stuff. So
they should. The way to perfect the commercial is to have this horrific 1950s bee scream. Just, Budweiser, you know. So that,
exactly.
Yeah, that sounds like a kind of a retro commercial. And then what else did you see?
Okay, now, the other one was the traditional Budweiser. It shows, like, a bunch of people at a dinner party, and a doctor gets paged, and he goes to this area and gives birth to, what do you call those big horses with the big feet for Budweiser?
Clydesdales?
Clydesdale. It's really kind of a classy commercial, and it says, welcome little guy to the next generation. It's kind of a classy commercial.
A guy gives birth to a Clydesdale? Did I hear you? What'd you say?
I meant the doctor. The doctor helps the horse give birth.
Oh,
okay. It's kind of a classy. I'm a little nervous. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So which were the three that you guys... Now, you're all together in this focus group. How many of you are there?
It was probably about 50 people there.
And you answered this ad?
Actually, no. I had initially... I signed up for some stupid thing at the mall, and I get all these telemarketers calling me 100 times a day.
Right.
But this one was for Budweiser, so I actually listened to the guy, and he's like, you want to make $50? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, show up here in Studio City.
You want to make 50 bucks? Yeah, sure, whatever, man.
Research,
yeah, that's cool. So you went to this place, and there were a number of other people behind some glass, and you have to understand that you're being observed throughout these focus groups.
Yeah,
generally.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, that's what they do. They are watching the commercial.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what did all of you guys decide on?
Well, okay, the dog was the number one. Everybody loved the dog. Oh, and there is another dog one, too. I just remember now. Another good one with the dog is it's an acting. A dog's like the star of this film, and they're trying to get the dog to cry.
Right.
And so the producer says to the dog, you're going to have to cry. You're just going to have to do it. So what happens is he tells the dog, I want you to think back to your worst moment in time. So the dog, like, sees his Budweiser truck running through or driving through the yard, and he's chasing after the Budweiser truck just about to, like, get it. He dives, and all of a sudden, he smashes into this other truck. And I didn't catch everything, but it's something to do with cats. So he hits this other truck that had something to do with cats, and so that was, like, this dog's crying and howling. And that was, like, his memory of his worst day.
Yeah. I guess you had to have been there.
Yeah.
Most definitely, yeah. So what'd you guys all decide on?
Oh, the dog went up with the master.
That
about
sounds
I give
like,
my master.
Yeah, that sounds like the best one. Well, at least they're moving away from the, you know, the lizard and the frog thing. They worked that pretty. They worked the frogs and the lizards about as far as they could work that shtick.
Yeah, there was no frogs and lizards. There was a
right.
couple of lobster. There was a couple of lobster ones though.
Oh, geez, they're still trying to. They're going to milk some laughs out of crustaceans now.
And what they said at the end.
The weasel's a riot. The weasel's beautiful. Yeah.
What they said at the end is, they said, go ahead and tell all your buddies so you can give them the scoop. And they said the most popular ones will probably be on during Super Bowl. So I'm guessing, Phil, that you're going to see one of the dog ones. You're going to see probably the Clyde, the little baby Clydesdale. And you'll see one of these, either the lobster with a chick or some other one with a chick.
Oh, man, the lobster one. Okay, we'll look for that, pal. Thanks.
All right, take care.
See you later. A guy giving birth to a Clydesdale.
You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8666. Wrong song. Right song.
Dr. Krelgor!
She really upset me.
Alrighty then, our number is 1-800-449-866, 1-800-449-8686, and let's go to Rodney. Hi, you're on the Dr. Krelgor Show. Hi, Rodney.
Hi, Dr. Krelgor. I'm a meat sack.
Okay, what can I do for you?
Well, I feel really bad about something, and...
Okay, calm down and tell me what you feel bad about.
I feel bad about the fact that my wife is made out of vinyl. My wife is made...
Your wife is... And how old is she?
She's not any age at all. She's made out of vinyl. I suddenly remembered I purchased her 6 months ago at a store.
Well, maybe you're putting too much pressure on her.
No, well, that's what I'm thinking. But, and she popped.
Well, there you go. Did you... You know, the thing you might want to try is put a cigarette out with her.
Yeah, that's what I did. She lost all of her hair.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling the Dr. Krelgar Show.
I'm a worthless meat sack.
Now go take on the day.
Okay, we've worked that. 1-800-449-8686. So what I was going to tell you guys is this. And at the risk of this turning into what's your favorite Budweiser commercial segment, because I was just sitting here talking to the great Craig Taylor and Mike Schaefer, guys that helped me out on the show. Craig gets the rollerblade home tonight, by the way, because he lives so freaking close to the place. So I was talking about these Budweiser commercials. Get a load of this. You remember Bud Bowl? Bud Bowl. Let's just go right ahead now and speak the truth as we should speak it. The Bud Bowl sucked almost in a perfect way. It sucked in the perfection. That's how much it sucked. Bud Bowl was no good. No damn good. See you later, Mike. They had a thing back around 1980. The 1980 Super Bowl was something like this, right? And it was a live taste test between Bud and Bud Light. And they had two panels, 10 guys drinking Budweiser and 10 guys drinking Bud Light. They didn't know what they were drinking. Well, I forget how it worked, but they were all going to drink beer and they didn't know what the hell it was and which would they choose. And the guy who hosted it was an NFL referee named Tommy Bell. They did this. It was a live commercial. Anybody remember this thing that I'm talking about? It was a live commercial. It was done live for the East Coast, live for the West. They did it, well, it was done live for everybody, okay, across the country at halftime. And it was, we're going to find out once and for all which is good Budweiser and which tastes like pea water. And that's how they advertised it, in fact. It goes,
hi, I'm Tommy Bell. Budweiser tastes like urine, but we're going to find out if Bud Light's any worse. Stick around. We'll be right back. Now this word for pearl necklace.
So anyway, they had these guys all lined up, and at halftime, boom, they go to the commercial. A live commercial. Now, when's the last time they had a live commercial on TV, other than like the Today Show? I mean, were they, you know, has it been like 40 or 50 years or something? Maybe they never had live commercials. This was live. They go to Tommy Bell. Now we go to Tommy Bell, former NFL referee, and all of these clowns are there, and they start sipping the swill, and the guy says, yeah, baby. Budweiser has won, and they showed how it tallied up right there on the screen, and the guys tallied their votes, which was better, Bud or Bud Light, or maybe it wasn't even Bud or Bud. It might have been a cross-brand promotion, like what's better, Coors Light or Bud Light, something like that. In any event, they hired this referee, and they did this whole thing live, and it was very, it scared me. It scared me.
I'm Dr. Krelgar.
Anyway. And then, of course, you know, because we're talking about these commercials, the Super Bowl is, and you don't even have to be a football fan to know this, the Super Bowl is when all of the new advertising for the year is rolled out, or the new campaigns, or the most special ones. Anybody remember the, I think it was Federal Express, where the guy said, we sent our tape for this commercial via an inferior airborne service, and so this is the only commercial that we have, and they were writing on a chalkboard. You remember that one? That was like two Super Bowls ago. Oh, man, it's hot in here. Here's Van Nuys on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hey, Phil Hendry, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Fine, calling about Budweiser commercials.
Welcome to the Dr. Krelgar Show.
Imagine this, I'm an actor in L.A., imagine that.
You're an actor, and you're an actor in one of the commercials that's going to be on?
Yes, sir, one that they're almost, they said 99% sure that it's going to be on because they can't really tell. They shot a bunch of commercials, and they're only picking a few for Super Bowl.
Right.
But There's two. One, my buddy was in one, and then I was in one. Mine is one with a moose that talks at the end of it.
Right.
You've got a place that's ransacked, and we can't figure out what's going on, and so the police run through chasing these tracks. They say, we've got two tracks headed east and west. Let's get them. They go trace them through the woods, trying to find it everywhere. They see some guys fishing. They go, and they arrest those guys, and then the camera pans over, and it's a moose with boots, and he's made the tracks in it.
Oh, I thought it was like one of those talking moose heads in a cabin or something. Or is that a commercial I've already seen?
I think that's already one. I don't know.
Okay, so what's the for the brand? What is it, Moosehead Beer?
No, this is for Budweiser.
Oh, you're in the Budweiser commercial.
Yes, sir.
And then the one that the guy just was talking about, you know these ones, this dog or something?
That one I didn't hear about. There's quite a few of them that they shot. I mean, I have a lot of friends that were getting work on these things. One was two guys on stranded in the ocean, and they're fighting over the last Bud Light, and they lift them up, and an aircraft carrier lifts them up, and they're still fighting to the last breath. They shot that in Hawaii. They had all kinds of work on it. And that one they're still not sure either, but they sent so much money on it, you would think for sure it's going to run.
And they're fighting over the last Bud Light. That's a theme that they've been working on, that, you know, fighting over the Bud Light thing.
Yes, sir.
I love you, man thing.
Right.
Have you seen the new the Heineken spots are pretty good. You seen those, Craig? The Heineken commercial shows how to hide a Heineken. Are you an amateur? Are you a professional? Are you a smart guy? Hey, good for you. You're getting work.
Yeah, knock on wood.
And all of your friends are working on these things. So you're going to be in the Moose commercial?
Yes, sir. I'm one of the police officers chasing the tracks.
So look for the Budweiser commercial Super Bowl Sunday with the Moose.
Talking Moose. At the end, he says, whoa, that was close.
And you're one of the cops.
Yes, sir.
What's your name, sir?
My name.
Never mind. I know. You know, you'll be sitting around there at Jerry's Deli or whatever, and they're going to, Jesus, what an asshole. You really had to say your name. If you want to, go ahead.
No, I can't.
All right. Okay, never mind. Well, I'm looking for it anyway, man. We're going to watch the game. Go Titans.
Adam Grenier. Thank you very much.
Okay, brother. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. What did he say? Adam Grenier? Adam Grenier. Isn't that like that's a liqueur or something?
Probably.
Adam, I drink Grenier. What's your name? Adam Trenton? Owensboro on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yo, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Enjoying the show. I had a call about the Bud Bowl.
Yeah.
How sad this sounds. My friends and I were watching that Super Bowl, and we actually bet on that Bud Bowl.
What is up with that?
And
why?
Budweiser won.
Well, I know you guys had a few drinks and it was a laugh, okay?
Yeah, but you know that was pretty sad. It was between Bud and Bud Light. You had
which,
that part.
Well, which one?
The one that I remember, it was like in 81, and it was the thing where it was announced at the halftime of the Chicago.
How old are you? How old are you?
34.
81? What are you betting on this when you're 12?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we had Super Bowl. I had
well, then it's not so sad.
I had an older brother.
And he's feeding you beers, and you're betting on the Bud Bowl with your 12-year-old buddies from the from the Pee Wee Basketball League.
I could tell you the whole story. My mother was out of town. My grandmother was watching us.
Your father is with his secretary?
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was that kind of scene. We had, you know, a big
who was bunch playing?
I remember it was Chicago. That was, I think, when William Perry...
86. That was Chicago and New England. All right, so you bet on the Bud Bowl. You know, you go and you sin no more, and you you try to make something out of your life.
Yeah, man. That's a story.
Okay, brother. Thanks. Bye. Big deal. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Bet on the Bud Bowl. William the Refrigerator Perry. Remember when that guy was big time? Remember when there's always a person out? Remember when Jim McMahon was dropping his pants and mooning helicopters? And there's always a story out of all of these games, manufactured or not. There's always some kind of an interesting angle. Last year, though, there wasn't much, was there? Year before that? Think of the colorful guy. Deion Sanders is always worth, you know, he's always a very worthy guy to listen to. He's always interesting to watch play and hear him run his big, fat, stupid mouth about something. I don't know. And then there was, like I said, there was William the Refrigerator. There was Jim McMahon. Remember when the Raiders were in the Super Bowl? You had Matuzak and you had, you know, Lyle Alzado and guys like that. Always, you know, they're always very quote-worthy. Always getting into a fight or arrested, or at least it's perceived that they got into fights and got arrested. When in point of fact, they never did. Raiders are always good for, you know, a couple of laughs. And the game, you know, the game would be a blowout, but at least leading up to it, you know. The guy from Atlanta got arrested. Oh, the dude last year got arrested. Who was the guy that got busted for the Cincinnati Bengals? Was it back in 89? I can't remember his name. Stanley Wilson. The dude gets popped for prostitution last year from the Falcons. You know, this is a story. This year, nothing much. Oh, wait, Leonard Little. We just did a whole hour on the guy. Although that happened back, you know, like 2 years ago. But hey. So there was, you know, there's always going to be something interesting going on, even if the game sucks. And the possibility is that it will. I'm hearing people say now, hey, you know what? That St. Louis-Tampa Bay game, that's exactly how the Super Bowl is going to go. Can't wait for that. Because now you know how you can beat St. Louis. You run the same defense that Tampa Bay did. That'll be a hell of a game. Yeah, 11-6. It was 5-3. I came home from something. I don't know. I was getting my fingernails pulled out. And anyway, we came on. We flipped the game on. And my wife is picking up crap, you know, in the living room, like kids' clothing and everything. First thing you do when you walk into the house is you're picking up kids' clothes. And I flip the TV on, and I'm walking over to do something, and I hear, and this is Fox, and the score right now, 5-3. And, you know, I sort of stopped in my tracks. You know, I did one of those keep-on-trucking poses, just, why? This is Pat Summerall, along with John Madden. And right now the score is St. Louis 5, Tampa Bay 3. We'll be back on Fox.
5-3.
So I remember seeing a Detroit-Dallas playoff game back in like 71. It was 5-3. I think that was the final score. So, with any luck, we got a ball game just like that coming up Sunday. Phil Henry here, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Is that from Sexorama? That's good. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Anyway, Flagstaff on the Phil Henry Show. Hi, how you doing? Flagstaff.
I'm listening.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, there was a big, actually a big story. I think it was last year. Tostitos was filming a commercial. And you remember how that kind of goofy-looking used to... try to get the chip with his mouth, you know, he'd like fly out of an airplane or off a
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, last year, as they were filming this for the Super Bowl, it was like 3 days before because they wanted this to be under wraps. Nobody could hear about it kind of thing. The actor that was actually doing the bungee cord was jumping from the very top of the bowl, whatever it was. I think it was a Superdome, wherever it was last year. And the bungee cord was 1 foot too long.
Oh, I heard about that. How is that possible? Is that an urban myth in
no,
the making?
No, that happened. I was,
1 foot too long.
I was in.
Who's the?
I was in the audience. To you know, they filmed like 30 of us sitting on the benches at different angles, and then
as if you're the crowd, yeah.
Yeah, and then filled the rest of it in like with Q-tip heads or something like that. And this guy hit. Well, we thought in the audience, we thought, oh well, this is just a joke, and they're going to film it and say. You know, well, his, you know.
I heard about this.
It was a spoof.
Yeah, I heard about this.
And this guy is laying there, and suddenly, you know, we see the ambulance running out there and people running out there, and we're thinking, well,
this is part of the commercial.
I didn't hear cut. I didn't hear action. You know, nothing. And this guy just killed him.
You probably thought it was the most bizarre Tostito commercial you ever saw in your life.
Obviously.
With an ambulance out there and a guy, you know, a foot too long bungee cord. But we eat Tostitos here at the EMT lab.
Obviously, they pulled that commercial. But it was just, that was a bizarre thing.
You know, I heard about that. I heard about it, and I thought it was some kind of a joke, because naturally the thought occurs, how could anyone be that stupid that they've got a bungee cord that's a foot too long? But, I mean, you know, you learn something new every day, I guess.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Why in the world didn't they test this with, like, a bag of sugar or something?
Yeah, I mean, the point being, you have a bungee cord that even at the fullest extension is going to be way short of whatever surface one runs the risk of hitting.
Yeah, but this guy just munched him. Hey, great show. Glad
Thanks,
you syndicated.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for helping out there, pal. What do you mean, a bungee cord that's a foot too long? You can't write that. You can't film it. You can't turn it into a Harry Potter book. No one's going to believe it. Speaking of Harry Potter, there's a guy I'd like to see with a bungee cord 1 foot too long. Boy, if I don't see another one of his books, it'll be too soon. Every kid in our family's reading that. Every one of them, all four, they got the Harry Potter books coming out of their freaking ears. There's a guy I could only wish got a bungee cord 1 foot too long. Harry Potter. Boy, don't you love these guys that are raking the dough in? This guy that come up with this Harry Potter idea, this cat's swimming in it, man. He's coming up with some Harry Potter. Have you read any of this stuff? When you're, I tell you what, when you're rollerblading home tonight, Craig, catch some Harry Potter on a rollerblade home. Just read some. You hear about this, Mike? See, you don't have any kids. We got kids. We got Harry Potter coming out of my nose. I got Harry Potter till I'm bleeding from the rear end. And it's all about some guy. I don't know what it's about. I got no idea what Harry Potter is about. He's a wizard? Look at this. Schaefer knows all about Harry Potter, and he ain't got any kids. I got four of them, and I couldn't tell you about Harry Potter, man, if I fell over the guy. He's a wizard's apprentice. I like the way you spelled wizard, W-I-Z-A-R-S. A wizard's apprentice. I understand. I know. All right, so he's a wizard's apprentice. So what is he like? And, of course, if this was 1967, it'd all be pulled off the shelf for fear that it was drug-induced. God. Got to have something to do with hallucinogens. Well, guess what? I think it is very much involved with hallucinogens. I'm going to be the first parent to raise that banner. I think them Harry Potter books ought to be pulled off the shelf because whoever did them was doing some psilocybin tea, my man. Anyway, God, I love it. And this guy, he's raking the dough in. I don't know who the guy is, the guy that wrote these Harry Potter books, but he's made out of cash. He's the same guy as that, same thing as that Celestine Prophecy guy, that James Redfield, is that his name? Guy wrote a book that, he couldn't get arrested with this book. He took it into publishers. They were like, yeah, thanks very much, man. Why don't you try the Mad Magazine down the street, man? They might put it out as a broadside. So he publishes it himself. Next thing you know, the thing's been a bestseller for 46 years. And I'm sitting here belching up bad gas, drinking Diet Coke, caffeine-free, and me and Craig are looking at each other. We're still trying to make a dollar. Well, it's a great world. It's a great world, and I want to thank Premier Radio Networks. I want to thank my radio station in Los Angeles, KFI, the great people who work there. I want to thank my wife, the four kids, everybody in the family that came in for the big ribbon cutting today. I want to thank, Amir and Fiona for the beautiful cake, all of the guys that came here and had a little piece of that cake. And when I get home, I'm burning all the Harry Potter books. It's going to be great. We got time for one more call? Okay, here we go. Phoenix on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Hi, Phoenix.
Yeah, true story, 1955. They used to broadcast live, doubleheader on Sunday, between innings.
Yeah.
Have a Hams fans, they'd pour the beer and they'd drink it. By the end of the seventh inning of the second game, they were blitzed.
Who was?
Jack Brickhouse is in the Hall of Fame, and his partner's name was Harry Creighton.
Harry Creighton? You mean Harry Carey. And they were bombed by the seventh inning? Well, good. I had to cut that gentleman's call off because we got this swell Stevie Ray Vaughan song, which isn't turned up hot loud enough. Now it's turned up loud enough. Nice fade up there, Craig.
Yeah.